Good evening. Thanks for coming out this evening. We're very fortunate to have with us Rav Yehiel Goldhaber. Rav Yehiel Goldhaber is the author of many articles and books on a wide range of topics. He's a world-renowned expert on Minhagei Yisrael. He's an unusual personality. He combines both the world of the Talmud Chacham, the world of the Torah, with the skills of a first-rate academic. His two-volume work on Minhagim is widely accepted in both the Frum and academic communities. Rav Goldhaber is a son-in-law of the Matisdorfer Rebbe, and he lives with his family in Jerusalem. He's spoken a number of times in this area, and he's been very well received. So it's my pleasure to introduce Rav Yehiel Goldhaber.
Thank you. In this coming Pasha, Pasha of Emor, is the source of the Aver of Chilul Hashem. That means blasphemy. The pasuk says, "V'leishchalalu es shem kotzi." V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisroel. You shouldn't put permission in my name, my holy name. And after that, we should holy our name between the Jews. That is the source of the mitzvah of Chilul Hashem. Chilul Hashem is a very complicated concept. But I want to come up with a new concept of Chilul Hashem that we don't find in Shulchan Aruch and in Gemara. The Rambam gives, in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam gives three categories of Chilul Hashem that we find in Chazal. First category is if someone does an act of the three Averis, Averis Zor, Gil Arai, Shechazami, in public, even if he's forced to, he's over on Chilul Hashem. Number two, if someone does an act, any aver, but he does it despite, and he's lahachis, any aver in public is also over on Chilul Hashem. Category number three is a special category, and important Jew has to respect himself in a higher level than a plain Jew. That means the Adam Chashuv, important Jew, could even if it does an act that's mutter in the Shulchan Aruch, there's no problem because someone else looks at him that he's putting in shame, he's putting himself into shame. That means we're looking on him he's the shliach from the Rebbein on this world. And if he does an act that's not respectable, so he's mechalal the shem Hashem. These are the three categories that we find in the Rambam. There are another two categories that we find in the Gemara. Both are Chilul Hashem only in the face of a goy. That means, if a Jew does an act that there's no problem about it, in the Shulchan Aruch we don't find a problem, but the goy doesn't understand that there's no problem about this act, so he's also over on Chilul Hashem. There are two examples in the Gemara. There's a machlokes, is gezel akum is mutter or asur. So the man that holds gezel akum is mutter. If the guy gets to know later that you took away from him something, so you're either on Chilul Hashem. Another example we find in the Gemara, if someone was forced to take an oath, to make an oath, or a shvuah, So in the Jewish law, he doesn't have to abide this oath, because in Turk oynes of money patrik. But in the goyish law, there's no such. We don't find such a heter from a forced oath. So if a goy sees, if a goy gets to know that a Jew is forced to take the oath, and he was out of it, he got away from it, so he has to be mekayim his oath because he's oivel chil Hashem. We found another example in the Gemara of public kiddush Hashem and not putting on the same klal Yisrael. It's a very interesting example. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if a poor Jew that doesn't have money, so he has to, the chatzchila, he should take charity only by Jews. If it doesn't work out, he could take it by the goy, but not in public. Why? Because if he takes it in public, charity from a goy, he's either a chil Hashem. Why is it a chil Hashem? So the Rishonim give two meanings in this chil Hashem. Or, because he's putting a shame himself, that is, or a poor man, he's putting a shame, he's putting the Jew into shame. Or he's putting the shame the Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael is not looking after him, it doesn't help him. He has to go to the goy. So it's Mechalel, the Klal Yisrael, that they're the religion of Hashem. That's what we have in the Shulchan Aruch and in Gemara. I want to come up with a new concept of Chil Hashem that we don't find clear enough, but if you look with a good eye, you could find a very, very interesting concept of Chil Hashem that has a lot of offspring. It goes like this. If a Jew does an act, and there's no problem in Shulchan Aruch, no problem about it. It's mutar lechatchila shebe lechatchila. But the guy in his religion or in his culture looks at the Jew, that the Jew is mechalel his religion or his culture. Yeah. In the point of view of the guy, the Yid is 100% all right. The guy is looking at the Jew because it seals to his culture that this act is blasphemy. It's not right. So it is only the problem of Chil Hashem. To understand my goal is, I'll give an example that everybody can understand. We all know that the Muslims, in their culture, before they go into the house of prayer, they take off the shoes, because the shoes is embarrassing their house. It's a disgrace of the house. So, I want to come up with this chiddush, that if a Jewish kehillah lives in a Muslim area, so they have to also take off the shoes before they go into shul. Because if the guy looks at them with his point of view, that we're disgracing our soul, so we have to think about them also. It's a very big chiddush. No one came up with this, but after this year, I hope to digest it. The first example that I found on this concept is a master of the famous Masechta. There's a Masechta Kusi, the Masechta Ktanas. Well, there it says like this. A Ben Tekua is a newborn cow that was born, and within his mother's stomach, he could still he can live on his own even after his mother was slaughtered. So defeat the Jewish law, you're allowed to eat it without slaughtering it. But the Kusim, that was a nation in the temple era, they were more from than the Jews, and even this Ben Kor, they didn't eat without Shechita, without slaughtering it. So the Masechta Kusim says that we're not allowed to sell the Ben Kor for a Goy, because the Goy knows that we eat it without Shechita. Loisase am acha kodosh lemale mimcha. You shouldn't do an act, and with this act you're causing that a different nation, a different religion, is more holy than you. And then the second source that I have is a Masechta Chassidim. It's more specific. It's the same concept. If we live in an area that goyim don't eat a specific food, also the Yehudi Shayachal, a Jew is not allowed to eat it. Ten is Chaleshim Shunayim Al Yodai. So he gives an example. Kegoyim. Nochish Shevo, a goy that sees a Jew eating Behemah Shenirbo. Behemah Shenirbo is a bastardized calf. Behemah. Who's made it to a human. So in the Shekhinah, there's no problem of eating it. But the Christian law, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Sefer Hasidim has this Chiddush that a Jew that lives in such an area, in such a surrounding, is not supposed to eat such a kind of a behema, because he's causing Chilul Hashem. So we have these two very sources going way back. It's not 900 years ago. I find this concept. But someone can't, I can't come to someone and say we have to look after the Sefer Hasidim. No one passes Allah from the Sefer Hasidim today. So I found it also in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch. So we have to have good eyes. The Rambam was very famous. And he expired a very, very famous takana from Chazal. We all know that Chazal is a shat, at the davening. Chazal made a takana because the common folk couldn't daven. So they made a takana that the chazan, after the whispering Shmoneh Esrei, the chazan should go over again, out loud, and to be mitzvah the common folk. So Rambam came up with such a problem. But we know that today, in his days, the common folk are dumb. On the other hand, the common folk chatters, and the whole davening is one big joke. That's how that's his picture. He said that everybody walks around the shul and spits and bubbles and makes jokes. It's a very black picture how it looks like in his era. So he came up with this takana, the expiring Chazaros Hashatz. That's it. And this was a major problem for him, because all the Rabbanim in his surrounding and from Spain gave him over the head, and went so far that the dying in Alexandria, that with his Talmud, his pupil, he gave him over for the city. That is going against the law. It's unbelievable to understand it, but that's the story. So he has two children going to his Talmud, the Pinchas Adayim, explaining himself. But I said before that it doesn't go on today. And I wouldn't be mevatlit Chazal Hashatz. Only because it's goyim mechilul Hashem, because they in their house of prayer, They stand still and they listen to the church, whatever goes on there. So they're mechaleshem shemayim, and they come in our shuls and they see how we are mechaleshem shemayim. I couldn't stand it, so I was mevatel Rosh Hashanah. By the way, it's very interesting. This takana went on until after the Spanish expulsion in Egypt and the whole area, Palestine, Syria. That's 1 minute. In the Koyach of the Rambam. Until when? Until the Spanish expulsion. So then the Spanish Jews fled from Spain and Portugal. They came to this area, Egypt and Syria. So they said, but what kind of minig is that? You never heard of such a minig? You have to bring back the Chazos HaShas. No way. So the very big debate between the Spanish Rabbanim and the local Rabbanim in Egypt, on top of the Radbaz, that was the main rov in Egypt. And we find in the Tshuvas HaRadbaz back and forth until he surrenders and he says, okay, we could bring it back. Why could we bring it back? You have two reasons. The first reason is we don't speak, we don't chatter, we became Bali Tshuva. Second reason is the guy looks at us, the klal looks at us down. He doesn't interest in what we daven with. He don't daven. We do daven. We're out of the newspaper. We don't exist the klal. That's our buzz. I said, okay, from today on, we'll go back to Chazal Sashas. I have a very I can't buy this Adbaz, because the Adbaz alone has a tshuva asking in Egypt a very, very unbelievable question. You all know that from Chazal Sashas, from the Tkiyas, from the Bracha from the Tkiyas, until the end of the Tkiyas, after Musaf, we're not allowed to speak, we must speak from the bracha to the mitzvah. And every boy and girl knows this Allah. The Adbaz had a question like this, and asked like this. We all know that by us in Egypt, between the Tkiyas, the Miyushev, and the Tkiyas, the moment, between the Tkiyas and Musaf, everybody's chatting and chattering around. So he has a shyness, if the Baltikei has to make another bracha, if the Oilem has to make another bracha. And he goes away with it. He says, the Ikut that the Baltikei doesn't, is not nothing, that's enough. If they had such a shyla that they were chattering between the Tkiyas, it's very hard to say that a Chazos HaShas was better. Okay, I have another three Rambams. Yeah.
Can you distinguish between those two cases? Because the case of the Rambam is discussing is Pasad Arushas Asura. By the Sefer HaChassidim.
Right, it's Mutar. It's Mutar. Yeah, but the Rambam emphasized that even without the Chil Hashem, he says clear. Without the Chil Hashem is not because we're not allowed to speak. Because they are very very makbid not to speak by them. He emphasizes it. You're right that it's a little different. But he emphasizes this point that we're parallel with them. The second example I have in the Rambam is like a Tfilas Ezra. We all know that Ezra made a takana, and a Belkeri, someone that experiences the mission of Semen, is not allowed to say Kriya Shema or Torah. So it's a machlekes of Shoyne. Before he goes to Mikra. There's machlekes of Shoyne and Goyne if it goes on after Ezra. Now, the Rambam holds that the Takanas Ezra is bottle, expired, And we don't have to go to mikveh, not before davening and not before learning. When the Rambam wrote this, in his Yad HaChazaka, he also got over his head. We have a few letters that, that are going to him. Now how can you say such a thing? We all are makbid on this tefillah. We all are makbid on this. How can you say that it was bottled and today we don't have to go after it? So he answers them like this. The only reason that you are makbid today, these days, on tefillah tzedakah, is because you live between this community, means the Muslims, is going to Egypt. And the Muslims are very makbid on the kiosk before the cleaning before the prayers. So far that we all know that whenever a Mashulach comes from your area to Europe, so they laugh at them and they say, you learn the kiosk from your neighbors, the Yishmaelim. So we finish the letter like this. If someone lives in a Muslim surrounding, he has to clean himself. Or someone lives in a Christian surrounding, he doesn't have to clean himself. B'fnei kiddush Hashem b'goyim. That's the lesson. So this is mamish, our example. That we have to take their point of view in our culture. Another Rambam that all the Mephoshim ask, I don't understand from where the Rambam took it. The Rambam says that Taharas HaYodayim, the purity of the hands before the davening, is Ma'akid. You have to wash your hands. And then he says, before davening, you have to wash your hands and your feet and your face. Ponav Yodav Ragla. So on the spot, the Ravid and the Ramach and the Rabbeinu Menoyach ask, where the Rambam take such a din? The Gemara says, Yodo, only the hands, you have to wash your hands. So I want to say that the answer is simple, very simple. We all know that the Muslims, before their prayers, they wash their hands and feet together. Amislav, like Kiddush Adam Raglayim. So it could be, he put it in the Sefer, could be, that's the reason, but I'm sure that it's offspring from culture around and around. And all the Mesekelim of the Rambam, the Ravid, the Rabbeinu Menoyach, and the Ramach, all in Provence and in France, they didn't know about this minik. The last source I have before the Shulchan Aruch, we're after the Rambam, is after the first expulsion of Spain. We all know that the expulsion of Spain was 1492, but there was 100 years before, there was also a very big expulsion, 1391, and we could say that half of Spain was expelled, and then they fled to Portugal and Morocco. When they came to Morocco and then in Algiers, so Spain was then Christian. They came to Algeria. Algeria was a Muslim state. So they got to see no Menhagim. One of the Menhagim was that they saw that the Jews take off the shoes before they go on the shul. So they asked the Rivosh. The Rivosh was the biggest Chacham still in Spain. We have to go after this minute because it's a very not common to take off the shoes. So he has a very big tshuva, he and his son and his grandson, the Rashbash and the Tashbash. All three have a tshuva in this era. But yes, if you live in a Muslim area surrounding, you have to take off the shoes. Toiv Adovo was very good. They made it a korma to take off the shoes, to take away the shame, the disgrace of our nation. They shouldn't get disgraced. That's the lesson of the Rashbash, the reverse song. So these are the exams that I have until the Spanish expulsion. But saw this, I can't put someone with a taina because we have to have a Shulchan Aruch. We can't take someone to court if he doesn't listen to his voice. So I found the Shulchan Aruch also. In this Shabbos, halacha is, a Jew was not allowed to do a malacha, and not only a Jew, he is not supposed to make a goy, a Gentile, should do a malacha for him. It's a nir la'akum shchus. Not to say, tell a goy, do a malacha for nir Shabbos. It's a very complicated halacha. But there's one term that you're allowed to have a goy work for you. That's in the kablanos. Kablanos means, yes, that you take a goy. He wants to build a building. Whenever you want, you can build a building. It take you a month, it take you 10 years. That means he doesn't have no connection with the Jew. If you pay him monthly, that means you have a connection with him the whole time. But if you look at the work, he works for himself. He's working for himself. He wants to make this and this. He wants to make this money. He's working on the plot of a Jew, but he's not working for the Jew. That's called kablonos. And even if there's a machlekes shoyinim if you're allowed to, but the person in public, the kulam, you're allowed to work in such a term of kablonos. Because in public, no one can tell if you're working for a Jew or not. So the Magen Avraham comes up like this. He was a rabbi in Kalish. Kalish is in Poland. When I came to college, he says, I saw a very interesting thing. In the ghetto, in the Judengasse, they used to hire goyim to take away the garbage from Shabbos. Why? Because Sunday they couldn't work. It was off, a day off. And if it would be garbage from Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, they couldn't take it. So they hired a few people who were going to take away the garbage, to clean up the garbage. So my Rebbe says, it's not right. It's not right. Why? Because they, the goyim, by their holidays, they don't work in public. And not only they don't work, they don't let a Jew work for them. So we have to make a kalvachoyma. If they are in their holidays, they don't let a Jew work for a goy for themselves. So kalvachoyma, if a Jew takes a goy in his holiday, he's mechalal Shabbos, because in the goy's point of view, you're not allowed to take someone to work for you. It's mamash this concept. That we have to take the goy's point of view in our culture, in their culture, for our culture. But this Magen Avraham is a very big Kaddish. He doesn't bring all the Ramas that I brought before. And on the start of Kivege and the Lurabe, all the Mephoshim ask, where did he take it? Kivege asks even more. We know that goy is Shabbos Chayiv Misa, goy has to work Shabbos, so we have to do an act. He shouldn't work. That's the Kneger's kasha. But the only one that took it among the Avraham with two hands, was the son-in-law of Kivega, the famous Chassan Sofer, and he pushed it in the Shulchan Aruch from him and further. I could say that everybody bought this idea. The Sefer was asked from the city Eisenstadt that the shul fell apart. The shul fell apart, and they had to build it back. And it was before Pesach, and on Pesach is Easter, and they have their holidays. So if we're not going to work a whole day, 7 days a week, or 6 days a week, because Sunday didn't work, We're not going to finish Rosh Chodesh Pesach. We have the holiday. So if we allow let the goy work for us, even Shabbos. Also Shabbos. So he answers, it could be that in the Shulchan Aruch there's no problem, but what could I do that the Magen Avraham doesn't let me give a heter? This Magen Avraham. I hope you could get around even without Shabbos working. 2 months later, he gets decided from the small town Zenta in Bulgaria that the Beis HaKvaros, the fence of the Beis HaKvaros collapsed. We have to put it, the Chilul HaKvarim, we have to put it back, have to build it back. And the same problem, the grain were not going to work 2 days, they're never going to finish. And here's COVID a mess, it's a major problem. So he answered also, what could I do? Because it's in public, it's a very big chilul Hashem. The goyim are very makpid on not to work on the holidays. I hope you think you can find a way how to get out of it. These are the two from Sefer that managed to change the whole aspect by the Poskim after him. After dozens of Poskim. They have Shilas and Shabbos and in Yom Tov and in Kashrus and all over. They could get away very, very easy. But because they looked at the point of view of the Goy, it was a big problem for them. I'll go through. I'll take a few examples. In Frankfurt, one of the last big rabbanim, his name was Motcha Levi Horowitz, from 1870 until 1920. He has some 5 shaylos asked in the city, in Frankfurt and the cities around. Someone that wants to build a shul Shabbos and a cemetery Shabbos, and someone's house fell off and someone's backyard fell on someone, he has to fix it. All kinds of interesting Shabbos. And he says, in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't have no problem of Kablanot, but what could I do that it's safer to put a Magen Avraham on the desk? We can't get away from it. Before I go to the examples, I just want to say that 1890 or even before, in Austria-Hungary, the religion became a lot secular. A lot more secular, and they couldn't force Jews to work, not to work on their holidays. And then, a few years later, the Goyim alone became more secular. We could see it in the Jews. We could see a whole time how the more makel and the more open-minded, because the Goy is also not so frog. Very interesting. We could learn. You can learn Goyish history in the Chuvah. The Gemara says 12 brachas that in the Har Habayis you're not going to go on the Har Habayis with a stick. I don't know. It's not called parabah. But in a shul you're not going to go with a stick with a cane. The Bach the synagogue from Aleph brings yesh makpidim, yesh ksas makpidim. They don't walk in a shul with a cane. So there's a famous rav in Metz, Shvus Yaakov Reisha. He asked on the Bach, "What do you think of the hakpado? You have a Gemara and a Rambam Shulchan Aruch that says clearly you're allowed to go in a cane, you're allowed to walk in with a cane in shul. How do you say that someone is makpid against Chazal?" The Chido, famous Chido, he took a tour in Europe, and he writes, he has a diary, Magal Tov. He writes, he borrowed by someone this Sefer Shlus Yaakov for one night. He borrowed the Sefer, and then he wrote a whole kuntres in a Sefer Yosef Oymet, criticizing on this Sefer Shlus Yaakov. It's unbelievable how the kind of memory he had. He comes to this Simon, so he says, of course, we can understand why they are makpid enough to walk in with a cane. Because I saw here in Europe that in the big churches, on the big in the base Amalek, they didn't walk in with a cane, they left it outside. So they have a chillah shem. That's the chido that says shat in this bach. Very, very interesting. Well, we just have to give them a reason. Why the Goyim didn't walk in? I don't know what's the reason, but you could guess. Maybe because the cane is a covered. You come with someone else, you have to take away your covered. You're a plain person. I don't have a different reason. Or it could be that it was dirty on the streets. Well, you have to look after the history. Another idea I found in such a chillah shem is talking in the middle of davening. It reminds the Rambam, all the Rishonim that speak against talking in the middle of davening, they say that it's a very big chillah shem because they in their worship house they don't speak a word. Another example is speak. Also, covered Beis HaKnesses is smoking in a shul. Smoking in a shul and smoking in a fast day. The first one that mentions that smoking in a fast day is a problem is the Knesset HaGdoila, Reb Chaim ben Beneshti. He was the biggest rabbi in his time in Turkey, in the empire. And he said like this, I would have said that even every fast day you shouldn't smoke, but I can't take it away from the Oilam. But Tisha B'Av, that's for sure that we shouldn't smoke. Why? He gives this reason. Because the goyim in our area, in their fast day, they fast 40 days. They don't smoke. And they look at a Jew that has his pipe in his mouth. There's a mechal Hashem Shemayim. So we have to stop smoking on Tisha B'Av. And we all know that whoever learned a little history, that there's another reason why he was against smoking Tisha B'Av. But that's not for now. Reb David C. Hoffman, the famous rabbi who sits in Berlin, he comes up with this chiddush, he now has spoken a shul because the goyim in their worship house don't smoke. The same I found, there was a very chashuv rov in Yerushalayim. He passed away in 1910. Reb Ovadia Hadaya, who is a big makubu. So he said, I understand how my friend smoked in a shul when I was in court, in the Goyish court in Jerusalem. No one had the chutzpah to take out a cigar in this holy house. It's a kavachoyma in the shul. And he even remember a son before his father didn't have the chutzpah to smoke, only after he asked permission from his father. Very interesting. You see how what kind of culture there was in those days. So Kalva Chaimer in the show, that we shouldn't smoke. In 1933, when the Nazis and Machshon took over the region in Germany, one of the first laws was that the Jews shouldn't come together only in the shul. They shouldn't spend time only in the shul. No clubs and no fear, nothing. Why? Because they were afraid to come together, they'll work against the law, they'll plan how to get around with them. The famous Rav in Germany then was the Chiyanke Weinberg, the Chabad Sefer Tzvi Derech, very famous. So he has a very, very sad question. They asked him from all the Kehillahs in Germany that we all know that we have a club. We come together in public and all over. They had theaters and pubs. Now we can't. So if we could do these acts in the shul, we don't have a different place to come together. Well, if we're not going to go do in the shul, we're going to go in by the goyish pubs and theaters and that's it. It's a very, very hard shaila. It's not easy to answer. And he has a very, very long tshuva. And he finds all kinds of atarium. Shachat chak. That is not a bigger shasat chak than this. But what could I do that the Chassam Sofer, the Rosh Kobne Agoyla? We're talking about a Litvak that learned the Slabodka and was 40 years old in Germany. What could I do that the Rabbi Shalak Bnei Agoyla, Monach Chassam Sofer, this Magen Avraham, Allah Kalamaisa. And we all know that in the churches they're not going to make no concerts and no plays. You can't understand a fraction of what kind of Shasat Chak it was. I got a few small examples. Rav David Spelber is a rabbi in Romania, in Brasov. They asked him if he let him put knocking nails on the wall of a shul to hang the coats and then hang the coats and then hangers. So he says no, because we know that them in the church there are no hangers, nothing on the wall. We have to take that point of view. I think that the Galachim would learn the Hichas Church from these tourists. In 1929, one of the Chasher Rabbanim in Lemberg, his name was Nosanot Leiter, he was asked if he let us put on the outside of the shul advertisement. The shul needs money, needs the income. He has all silence with Kusha on the walls outside, but then he says, we all know that the Goyim don't put no advertisements. It's a holy wall. So we can't. See how far the Rabbanu went with this aspect, this idea. Harav Breisch, he was the Rav after the war in Zurich. The Moshe Feinstein, a step before, the Moshe Feinstein has a famous shul in Chelik Aleph, and he's not a blind man to go in the shul with a dog. And our Baish has a shul against him, he criticizes him, and one of his reasons are because the Goyim also don't walk in with a dog. A few years before the war, the Rav of Berlin, there were two Rabbanim in Berlin. Rav Meir Hildesheimer, he was the son of the famous Rav Zvi Hildesheimer, and Rav Weinberg. So Meir Hildesheimer asks Rav Weinberg, and in his show, so there was one of the Talmid Chachamim didn't have enough money to pay for the seat. He had a debt for the seat. So he wanted to sell the seat for the shul. Instead of paying the debt, I'm selling the seat for the shul. So he says, there's no problem. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a first halacha that you can pay a debt even from Kodesh, from a shul. But we know that the goyim don't do such things, so I can't give a heter. That's the shul of a Weinberg for Rabbi Hildesheimer. I'll go back to the Gemara.
Yes. What the thesis?
Right.
Was there opposition to this approach? Was there anyone who rejected this approach?
No. After the Fonseca, no. Before the Fonseca, yes.
Why should there be faith because the Muslim is the way? At what point is it the Kukul Sayyid
Moshe Lezo? Yeah, I should have started with this question. And there are the Marsham. Yes.
We all know one of the reasons Martin Luther had against the Catholic Church is the selling of religious blessings and forgiveness for money. That was also the reason I think the reformers were opposed to selling of the mitzvahs to ensure that it's going to cover them. The reformers wanted to give them after that. Why is Luther the Orthodox so much opposed to accepting that?
It's
not nice.
They don't sell in the church seats?
They
only buy. Is it a good idea? I know selling the mitzvahs is also a problem for Shabbos. There's a separate problem. I know the reform were against that the show was very dark and were chattering. That's why they wanted to daven to whisper by davening. Yeah.
In France, it was the opposite. The Frunda complained that in the big shuls, with all the rich Jews, they couldn't get an aliyah because it was empty, you had a fire.
Uh-huh. Okay,
so it worked the other way.
So I have to answer the first question on the Hukasem et Salechu. The Masham and the Magen Avraham ask this question. The Hukasem et Salechu. So I have to answer. There's no other way out. We have to divide from a mitzvah or a ver and culture. So now they're supposed to go after their minhagim in kiyum hamitzvah in the way of Shulchan Aruch. But the minute it comes to culture, to the cheres, to the civilization, so it's not chukim. It's not chukim. You can see it changes. It changes. This culture changes. It's not a chok. It's the only way out.
Isn't there a problem with your approach that's so culture-centered? Because you really take the whole Rambam, and you could say the way he says about treating women, not having them visit
outside,
dress, all that.
Yeah, that's for sure from the culture.
So in a way, you're taking the Rambam and you're really reducing his power to
his era.
Very culturally relative.
Over there, by the woman, he doesn't write that. That's the reason. Well, we could guess that that's the reason. We could take a guess because you don't find it in the Gemara.
So that would be a case of the culture change. That Rambam wouldn't be obligatory.
Right. We find it in the Paschim also. Rambam says you're not allowed to. You never say shalom to a woman. And one of the biggest poskim, the Maram Sheikh, says that you're allowed it because today everybody's used to it. It doesn't make effect on the business. You find such things. The question is how far you could go. That's the main question.
So you said, Kala Lamed Espita, 13
Lamed Espita. Right? Right?
So going back to the original case, the fillet between culture and the original case was taking off your shoes, going into a house of non-Jewish worship. That was clearly not, or not clearly, but it seems like that was not a cultural action, but that was a halacha and tefillah for the Muslims, but yet...
Yeah, but why are they makpid on this?
Even if the halacha, but it stems from...
What is the reason? Yeah, what is the source? It doesn't have to do with religion, it has to do with
then it's a hard thing.
It's hargosha.
Even when it's
hargosha.
A halacha, and it's a non-Jewish halacha, so long as the source of that is not religious, you think that's...
No, we have, there's a famous Yisrael from the Ma'arik, Yisrael also brings in the Nichas Chukas Ha'akum, that a chukam from the Goyim, that has a reason, there's no Issa. That's the famous machlekes on shuas on the trees and so. You detect this. Also. Yeah, I'm coming up with it. There's two examples in the Gemara with this idea. We know a ger that becomes a ger. Kekot mishanel adomi. Like a newborn baby. That means he doesn't have no shaykhes with his family. But the Gemara says that kibud av, he has to be mekayim. Why? Even he's not his father. From today on, he's not his father. Because the father will say, yesterday you were a goy, you were mechaved me. And today you're a Jew, you're not mechaved me. It's this idea. We have this idea. Nassant et Rebkiveger, very interesting. The Rambam is mechadesh a new halacha that a girl, not only, even if he curses his father, he's over in Kilul, in Lysikali Lovit. He's over to Yisra. And the Shekhanor brings it, and then I ask, where did he take it from? Here's the source. But Kivega has two words. Beglal nimusayim. But Kivega on the Shekhanor. Hainu beglal nimusayim. Because they have this culture, this is their cheres. So he goes into the love of Kalala. Cursing. Very interesting. In the 1900s in Berlin, okay, there was a movement of burning the corpse. And amazing. And it spread out.
Cremation.
It spread out by the Jews, by the Friar Jews. So Mamish, there was a very big war against it. One of the Kelsiana Rabbonim sent a letter to all the Rabbonim in Europe. And they answered him, and he gave out a whole sefer, called Chaya Oilam, on this topic. And a lot of rabbanim say that we have this problem of Chilul Hashem because the religious goyim, they don't do it. Also very interesting. More interesting is. The Rav of Gross Vardain in 1860-70, when Mr. Hirschfuchs was asked by a Rav nearby, and that's an interesting shaila. A woman, a Jewish woman, became Frayim Ganson. Yotam in Adas. She went out, and she died, she passed away, and the family is from. And they want to bury her in a Jewish cemetery. But the Chavik HaKadosh didn't want. She lived like a goy. So They made a pshara, the chutz together, on the side of the Bais HaKoros. So the Rav that asked the Shaila has such an interesting twist. He says like this: in the eyes of a goy, no one could go out of Christianity. So who are they? They could look at us, and no one could go out of Jewishness. So we could bury them in a Jewish cemetery. So very, very interesting. No, but I'm Mumma. Any kind of tariq al faros, it's a problematic issue. The Sefer Chemdas Yomim, a very famous Sefer, a problematic Sefer Chemdas Yomim, he says like this: We have to give dog charity for all the poor man in our city. Everybody has to look up after the poor man in that city. Why? Because you all know that the church gives charity, and if we are not going to give our people, it's going to be very Hashem. That's a very interesting lesson. I finish with a good thing, with the chasana. Someone asked about a chuppah. One of the famous polemics between the Reform and the Orthodox was that the Reform wanted to put in the chuppah and the chasana into the shul. And they found there's Ramah and there's a shoylim that they had such a minik. But the Orthodox side was that you want to go after the church, you want to jump after them. So over here they came up with such a thing, such an idea, that we know that even if they have the wedding in the church, but there's no music and there's no dancing. It's a chilul habayis, dancing and the eating. So kal v'chomer that we can also, we're not allowed to make a chasan in the shul. That's it. This young man over here, his name is Joseph Rappaport. He came up with a very interesting idea that I didn't know about this. In the court here, be in the whole world, the very matter is not to question. What's the word?
Drag out. Just to delay.
Drag out a case. And we all know that in the Bateidin, if a Bateidin is famous Bateidin for dragging out a mister. Of Bezdin. So yeah, he came up with a nice idea. It could be that the Chil Hashem, because the covet of our mishpat is thinking about standing, we're going against someone, we're putting someone into jail, we're suing someone, and he's nervous, he's getting crazy, he could let him out for years and months. So it could be that is. We have to get the Bat Yedin, make a Kal V'Chomer from the court. Hashem should help us. We have the big Kiddush Hashem. Being a bias is the big Kiddush Hashem. V'hoy Hashem l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz.
Service in the shul,
Not track of this with religion.
No,
ask them with religion. Ask them with religion.
How do you bring it up with the Baal Chaim and make a boycott? You shouldn't eat this kind of meat, or you shouldn't wear slave labor clothing, and there's a whole big boycott.
It has to have a shakas of religion. All these examples are with their religion. Tzvah Lechaim is not no concept of religion. Could be, I don't know, but I think so.
Goldwaver has some of his farm if anybody's interested.